This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Whawhia te kete mau tauranga. Fill the basket of knowledge. Welcome, library lovers, to Slanza Sessions, a podcast to celebrate school libraries and all of the people who inhabit them. We want to share our love of books for youth and young people and our passion for school libraries. We'll be asking questions and seeking answers about how we can all ensure the school library maintains its valuable place in New Zealand literacy and education landscape. I'm Alan Dingley, and along with Sasha Eastwood and Chris Auer, we'll be bringing you interviews, reviews, views and more. We look forward to having you along for the ride.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is lovely to be back. Us with Slanza Sessions.
Is it good afternoon?
It's good morning. It'll be because in the morning.
It's in the morning? Okay.
Well, I don't think we should say a time at all, because when are people listening to us?
That's a very good
point. They could be listening to us late at night.
No judgment on time. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to Slanza Sessions. With me, Sasha and Chris. Hi, guys. Anyway, we're going worldwide. We are that important. Anyone's got Spotify, you can find us anywhere.
That's a bit scary.
Isn't it, though? We're reaching, our tentacles are reaching out into the world.
I wonder how many people listen. Can you put your hand up if you're listening to the podcast?
I can hear millions of rustlings of hands going up around the world. As you can see, it's a Thursday. We're not going to tell you what time of the day it is. It's real late with us here. That's why we're a little bit wacky, bit crazy. So today, we're just going to have a chat, see what happens. So I'm here with Sash and Chris. How you guys going?
Good.
Good.
Not bad for week 5 into term 1 of the year.
Halfway through the first term already.
It's scary, isn't it?
Oh, how's the start been?
Yeah, good. Kind of a blur, really, for me. Just
what is the start of your year? What does it look like to you?
Just heaps of year 9s getting used to coming to high school and getting books out. Actually, they get the books out the most. But
is that because they're coming from really amazing libraries like Palmerston North Intermediate,
probably.
And, well, that is, I think, one of the only intermediates in town with a functioning library. just saying.
So they come in and just trying to find books and, I don't know, just heaps of stuff going on, really.
And the library in like a high school when you're a year 9 is a safe space because you're a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah, we've got a few boys who like their laptops, they come in and just play at lunchtime, play games or come in and read books and that sort of stuff. So,
Nice. And you, Sash?
So, new kind of stuff happening in my library at the beginning of the year. So I had this group of 5-year-olds coming in and before the classes. So classes come in regularly to my library, but they don't tend to come until kind of week 2 or week 3. But I had this lovely group of 5-year-olds coming in and at lunchtime and wanting to issue books, and it was so exciting. Isn't that weird that I'm excited about children issuing books?
And I think obviously either the daycare or the kura or the kindergarten they've come from has instilled something in them.
Yeah, so we have a pretty good relationship. We have the local kindy come in regularly on a Thursday, and then another local daycare, come in. So whether they are those kids, I never looked into it any further than that.
But you've made those connections. Obviously, they're paying off.
So it was cool, and they're just so gorgeous at that age.
Yeah, I remember them. They're still malleable,
And I haven't scared them. I haven't growled at them or anything. So they all, big smiles. I know.
Well, that first impression for that first librarian you meet can make or break. And what other news has been going on at the moment?
Well, there's that horrible bit of news that I saw on Twitter.
Auckland Libraries?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that as well. And from what I can gather, it was part of Pride Week.
Yeah, I think that's what I got.
And so it was drag story time, which I know a lot of places do it. Palmy does it. I know we do it here. They've done it at Te Manawa and the public library does it. And apparently some protesters turned up and very vocally disrupted it all, blocked off access, and just pretty much ruined the event.
So it was Auckland, wasn't it? One of the Auckland public library branches. Yep.
Yeah, and just unfortunately, there was a very, as was reported, there was a very sort of American sort of feel about that. Mm. And they accused Auckland Libraries and the wonderful drag queens who do just amazing performances of grooming.
Yeah.
And I just, that was just so sad. And I actually sort of called it repugnant in one of my wee posts because it is. And libraries are the most inclusive place you can get, yep, because it's still the one place that doesn't cost you anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And anyone can be there at any time.
Well, I mean, we keep going on about how it's all about equitable access, right?
Yeah.
And access for all. So, I mean, one thing I just want to say is what my heart goes out to the staff at the libraries that are having to contend with those viewpoints and protests, and certainly to our wonderful storytellers, drag queen storytellers, all of our storytellers that are out there.
I think it might behoove us to make one of our next sessions about inclusivity and get some of those awesome, wonderful local talents we've got on air. So let's do that. That's how we're going to deal with that problem.
That's right.
The other thing, I got a very exciting email from the Children and Young Persons Book Awards, and they are offering students a chance to help the judges for this year's Book Awards.
It's a great idea.
Yep. So if you haven't got your email, I would say email childrensawards@newzealandbookawards.org.nz and ask them if you can be part of it. And basically they'll send you age-appropriate books with particular categories and reviewing sheets, and you get your students to fill out their reviews and they get sent back to the judges, and the judges will use those reviews to influence their decision making.
So this is before the finalist list goes out?
This is before the finalist goes out.
Really cool.
So I think it's quite
a great idea.
Incredible thing. And they want positives. They want
student voice.
Student voice, yep. I mean, I believe that there should be a children's choice section.
Yeah.
But this is a great way of maybe
working
towards
that. They did
have
one a few years ago, and I think they just found it quite hard to administer.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
I've been part of the whole thing, and they do a mountain of work already, and it wasn't an extra thing. But this is a great way of giving the judges an extra wee voice. And I think, if you haven't got the email, as I said, email childrensawards@newzealandbookawards.org.nz and ask them about it, because I know they're keen to get as many people on board as possible. So we're very excited to be part of that.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. All right. So what should we talk about today?
Well, let's talk about this kerfuffle.
Oh, good word. Kerfuffle. Yeah. Sash, I'm a fan of that.
About the Roald Dahl post-publication edits.
Yep. So a little bit of, we'll chat today about whether it's...
Is it censorship?
Editing. Is it censorship? Is it, and what does that mean for libraries, and how do we deal with any censorship issues? So can you summarise what's happened for those people that have been living under rocks?
So about the middle of February, it exploded. This is what the lovely Claire Mabey says in her the spin-off article. The internet exploded with takes on the news that many of Roald Dahl's books have been edited to remove content that could be deemed offensive.
Okay. And so, I mean, anyone who works in libraries or knows or loves reading Roald Dahl, the classic that we love these books is Witches, Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Enormous Crocodile, The Twits. It's all about a bit of wackiness, subversiveness, kids being the heroes, sometimes adults not being as wonderful as they are. And I know when I was a younger person, I loved reading it because it was like revolting rhymes for me.
Yeah,
that now I'd say would get edited because that there was definitely some stuff in that was on it. But She Whips a Pistol from Her Knickers was just like, ooh.
Yeah,
it's and that's the sort of things. But I don't think for me it's censorship as such as an editing, smoothing over of outdated language. I'm not saying it's an offensive language, but I think it's outdated. But I'm still not a fan of going from Augustus not being called fat, still being called enormous.
What's the difference?
Yeah, well, offensive, I think, is something that would cause hurt, whereas outdated is... has that potential to be misinterpreted, or
so being
words
called
that
enormous
aren't in the
isn't
lexicon.
A hurtful comment?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's so I think whether it's, I think they're saying it's not censorship and it's that smoothing, but there is that line of who chooses, and it's a group that they called Inclusive Minds. Yeah, a collective for people who are passionate about inclusion, diversity, and accessibility. And that was the partnership that Penguin used. So I think with this case, the Dahl stuff, that for me mostly it's about changing the lexicons of language and words that aren't usually used in the current vocab as much anymore.
And is that the same kind of thing when they took out Fanny and Dick as the main characters from Enid Blyton?
Oh, Secret Seven or Famous Five?
Famous Five?
Seven?
I can't
Fanny
remember.
Fanny wasn't in Five, must have been Seven. Yeah, so Fanny and – I don't know if Dick's gone from the Famous Five. But that's the thing, isn't it? It's that sort of thing. That's the huge thing of who gets to decide what is offensive and just an adaptative language, isn't it? Like, we as librarians, we're the gatekeepers of our collections, and we make those decisions in our little world, which
There's
is
lots
fine.
Of people that hate that term, gatekeepers.
Depends how, Well, that's, again, there you go. Am I offending someone? I apologise. But I'm a Dungeons & Dragons fan. I like the idea of a gatekeeper of, like...
Can you have a moat?
Oh, God, wouldn't that be nice?
Probably not good with books around having moats. No. Anyway, I digress.
Sorry, as we do. But that's the thing. It's like, is it okay? And then...
Where's the line?
Where's the line? Yeah. So what word is okay? Like, they've, as you said, enormous. I still don't like that. I think there's so many other beautiful words out there that could be used.
So they're using enormous instead of fat?
Yeah, I believe so. I'll find try.
Because to me, enormous is worse.
I think so too.
What
did he say? Yeah, so now Augustus Gloop is no longer fat. The word itself has been removed from all books. Mrs. Twit is no longer fearfully ugly. And the Oompa Loompas have gone gender neutral in new editions of Dahl's stories.
And so there were edits when he was alive.
Yes.
So he changed. So the Oompa Loompas were originally...
pygmy-like creatures like Darkest Africa mentioned, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he edited that out himself, didn't he? So,
yeah, so
it's okay for an author to edit their own content, but some people don't think it's okay for
Stacey Gregg has said.
Yeah.
Yes, you put your work out there and you don't get a do-over.
Mm.
And that's the thing is, the author, should they have on the front of the book, this is no longer the original text, this has been edited by Penguin.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, abridged copies say they're abridged, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got abridged copies of books in my library. I have an abridged collection of Shakespeare.
Oh, right.
And so it basically takes all the Shakespearean, well, not all of it, but a lot of the Shakespearean terms and puts them into just a story.
Right.
So you get to know the kind of the context, but not, you don't have to learn a language or another form of language.
That actually occurred to me, would Grimm's, those original Grimm's fairy tales of the original what became Disney, they were incredibly violent and dark.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I haven't read the Grimm's fairy tales that are sitting in my library in at school to see whether they have been abridged or whether those original dark stories. And that's sort of an interesting thing. It's like if Dahl's a great example. And in one of the articles that mentions the supposed heir to that throne, David Williams, and they're saying that David Williams gets away with a lot more.
Is that a money thing?
Dahl used to. Absolutely, I believe, isn't it? I think that even says that in the article. And is this actually all about money? Because Netflix have bought the Dahl back catalogue, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for, I believe...
tidy sum?
$986 million US dollars. Netflix in 2021 purchased the entire Dahl backlist from the Roald Dahl Story Company. Puffins say that the edits were already underway before Netflix purchased them. But as it says in the article, that if Netflix buys the adaptations, they're going to want family-friendly content before it turns into television programs. And then so cynical people, and myself, I completely agree that Puffin have said, oh no, we didn't realise there'd be such a backlash. Oh, we'll re-release the original texts as well.
Oh, we weren't going to do that originally.
So it's there's that cynical stuff that what can be behind an edit. Is it truly wanting to make sure that it's the best product for the reader, keeping them, I don't want to say safe.
But there's so many other amazing books out there being written now why are we rewriting something that was written last century when we can be promoting books that are written now?
Exactly. So the reason isn't necessarily to maintain the quality of the resource, it's the viability of the product.
Yeah. So that again comes back to sales, isn't
it? Money. Yeah.
Like Chris said, I think if there's something on the front of the book that says this has been abridged.
Absolutely.
Or then at least adults and children and readers are knowing, going into reading that book, knowing it's not the original text, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So as librarians, because there's going to be abridged text or edited text, so as librarians, do we have a responsibility to get those new editions into the library?
Crumbs.
I'm just throwing it out there.
That's exactly a great point, because some this has been in the news, and you know, we deal in our libraries every day, whereas now parents are going, oh, I wonder what our library's got going on there. Most people, I think, will look at this and go, oh, gee whiz, and roll their eyes. But as you said, I guarantee that will come up.
A lot of libraries have a limited budget. So what do they choose? Do I go, you know, my Roald Dahl collection is looking a bit tired.
Yeah.
Because they're very well read.
Absolutely.
Very well read.
Same as mine.
So when I go to replace them, I don't think I've got the budget to get both sets.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because I want to be buying current reads.
Yes. Well, none of my current Roald Dahl collection has been challenged.
Mm. No.
So
no.
I'm
none
probably
of mine.
Happy to stay with that.
So have you had books that have been challenged in your library?
Not necessarily challenged, but, and we were discussing this before, is that students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you've created a supportive, safe library that gives the kids, the students, ownership, they'll take responsibility. Student came to me a couple of days ago with a Tintin book. Classic, we've got all the Tintins, all the Asterix books. And they said, Mr. Lee, should this be in the library? We don't think it's appropriate. And it was Tintin in the Congo.
Mm.
And as soon as I opened it to the page they showed me, it was Tintin waving from a ship, and it was pretty much what you'd call blackface. Big ears, white lips, all blackface. And it was such a depiction of that. And
They were meant to be natives of Congo,
They were shirt and shorts, but the face was still very much that lampoonish type thing.
Yeah.
And I said, that's spot on. I said, what do you guys think about it? I said, well, no, we don't think this is appropriate. And I was like, awesome, sweet, I'm cool with that. And I was happy to take their word, and I looked at it, and I didn't feel comfortable about it. I went, we don't need this. I've got 20 other Tintin titles. But I was stoked that they bought it to me. Yeah. Mm. What about you?
Interesting you said about Tintin, because a couple of years ago I had a couple of young lads. So my school goes from 5-year-olds up to 10-year-olds, year sixes. And I had a couple of young lads come to me with a Tintin book and said, we think these are quite violent. I'm really sorry, but the inner child of me kind of went into a state of shock, because I grew up on Tintin and Asterix, and I loved both.
Yeah.
And I, you know, also grew up on MacGyver Magnum P.I.
A-team.
You know,
A-team.
And the A-team. And I, you know, when you look back on now, you think, okay, violence.
Yeah, but it was normal, wasn't it? But you're right, Tintin, and that's true. There is, and as Super 4, they'll probably get challenged for poor use of concussion protocol.
Oh, true.
Because he gets knocked out a lot.
So he should be wearing a headgear
at least, or at least
health and safety.
Down. Health and safety, exactly. Yep. Mm. But once again, students, have Tintin?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I struggled to take it out.
We had a really good discussion about it. Exactly. If you had just said no without discussing it, then, you know.
Because I said to them, okay, what makes this different to, we've got, some Marvel graphic novels. What makes this different? And we had a really good discussion about, this,
yeah. Because you were talking about manga, weren't you?
Yeah, anime, yeah. A student came up and said, I don't think this is quite appropriate, because it was, a bit scantily dressed characters sort of stuff. And I had gone through it, and I said, I looked at it, it made me uncomfortable, and I thought, no, they didn't feel comfortable, so.
So it's gone?
It's gone.
It's a fine line.
But I felt great that they could come to me and say, Mr. Hour, we don't feel like this should be in the library.
And that's empowered, I don't say censorship, but that's probably the only word I can think of. That's empowered, and it directly affects them.
Yeah.
It's not someone 10,000 mile away is deciding what is best or at that in our little own world that we control.
But do those few students have the right to change what the collection is for everybody else?
Yes, what's good for one is it good for
them? Well, I think we said it both in our answers. That we looked at it and I felt uncomfortable looking at it. So I thought, well, if they had that and you just go with your gut, I think.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't feel right, then I just go with that.
If it's a shared experience.
Yeah.
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 So do you have a challenge book policy where a book in that situation goes to not just you, to other people?
I would say there's probably one in the back paper files in the
your procedures manual.
Procedures manual. Yes. But for me, when I found stuff I wasn't sure of, I've taken it straight to the principal and said, I found this, I'm unsure about it.
So you've made him the gatekeeper.
I've made him an ally. and it was a book that I didn't realise the publisher, and I can't quite remember the name, but it was a little bit, I didn't realise he was a member of Hobson's Pledge and things like that.
Oh, yes.
And it's an alternate, well, not an alternative history, but it's a very one-sided thing of history. And I went to the principal and I said, do you know what? It's the dates are historically accurate. And he said, do we pull it because it's a very one-sided account, but it's still an account.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, yep, I'm down with that. And made a wee issue note, that this is a particular view of a particular event. There are other views on this as well.
Yeah.
The Slanzer reading survey came out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, as was sent to me by lovely Slanzer people. And I think I can safely say for me, very few surprises from my lists. And if you haven't seen this, I'm not sure it's on the website. It was sent to me, emailed to me.
Yeah, it was emailed out to members, and it should be on the website.
Yep. Sweet, we will hunt that out. And so top overall books for 2022, this is school librarians pull their borrowing statistics to give a snapshot of the books that capture the imaginations of New Zealand school children. Book number one is Heartstopper, Volume 1 by Alice Osman, which is the graphic novel.
So is that done in an age? Is it an age thing, or is it just?
That's overall of all the votes. I'd say obviously cover here votes. I do have the Heartstopper series, the graphic novels, in my intermediate library.
I do not.
No, yes, well, you're being primary. Obviously, LGBTQ.
They are really popular in my library. Huge.
But definitely, I can certainly see why primary school.
Because they're
so popular.
And I suspect that YA and tween books would be predominant in the survey because
most of the
intermediates and secondary schools are more likely to have a library than primary schools. One day we'll take over the world, but not quite yet.
Two and three were both graphic novels again by Raina Talmanger. No surprise there.
Yep. Which ones?
Got Smile and Guts.
I've got both of those.
Good.
Yay,
awesome.
Session.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Smile, Guts, Sisters. Really cool.
Awesome.
And top authors, 2022. This is where the juniors probably surged back into it because Dav Pilkey.
Oh, yeah.
Dav Pilkey, Captain Underpants and Dogman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two was Jeff Kinney.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, still going strong, like huge. And then three was Alice Osman for the Heartstoppers. Top New Zealand titles of 2022, if mostly intermediates and teenagers voted, what do you think was the number one New Zealand book?
Well, I don't have those books in my library.
Oh, you don't? Oh, but you know books. So think of the popularity at the moment of Handmaid's Tale and Margaret Atwood.
Is it an Eileen Merriman one?
It is actually I Am Not Esther by Fleur
Beale. Oh, Fleur Beale.
Very, very good book. Very, very good
book. Very good.
Ellie Merriman does make an appearance later on. Second one is Catapult Joe by Brian Faulkner.
Great series.
Great series.
And then I Am Rebecca, which is a sequel to I Am Not Esther, came in. Top New Zealand authors was Fleur Beale, Donovan Bixley, number two.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's prolific, isn't he?
Isn't he? And Brian Faulkner was number three there. Magazines are interesting. Like, do you have magazines in your high school library?
No, I don't.
You don't?
You don't?
No, I don't.
Yeah, they get trashed. I've got Spoke, which is a mountain biking magazine.
Yeah,
super popular. Get that, mate.
Oh, so do you let them go out?
They get issued.
So they get issued to go home.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They get bound to we used to have like Teen Breathe and things at the youth space. And Teen Breathe is the top magazine, and the second one is National Geographic Kids.
Yeah, that's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't let them go home because my budget's pretty precious, and so they go to class. and they just can't go home.
Yeah, I'd love the suggestion for more magazines in my library that I could use, because it's hard finding one. Like sports, I think at the moment I've got so many footballers that, but then I'm wondering if that's me being biased.
The New Zealand kids rugby one
rugby.
Dirt bikes,
dirt bikes.
Australasian dirt bikes is the one of our most popular magazines.
Outdoorsy stuff.
Ponies. The horse and pony magazine.
My child George, he'd love that.
Ponies.
Best books for reluctant readers. Dogman, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and then Heartstopper actually was number three.
Yeah.
And I think for teen reluctant readers, that graphic novel angle of things has become so huge.
Yeah.
Because after Rain and Talmadge, you've got Emmy and Friends is a really good series and takes the next level.
Oh, yes, I've got some of those.
Yeah, really cool.
Yep.
I love those. High schools, here we go, Chris.
Yep.
Top books, authors, and series, you've got Heartstopper.
Yep.
Top author, Alice Osman, and top series, Heartstopper. So there's your popular reads. Intermediate primary schools. Number one book was Smile by Rand Talmadge.
Great.
Dave Pilkey, top author, top series, Dogman. Girls' schools.
Ooh.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay. Girls,
this is what was given to the people out there, ladies and gentlemen. We're not intentionally doing this. Once again, now this, the top book was not Heartstopper. It was One of Us is Lying by Karen M. McManus.
Oh.
Now, you've got that, Chris.
Yeah, I've got
that.
Yep.
It's above you guys. There's mystery and deal. I think someone dies in detention.
Yes.
And
it's a TV series.
And I was going to say, I think one of my – I have teenagers at home.
And it's a, it's a trilogy. Or
and they've talked about
photography,
that.
Photography.
Yeah. Ideology.
And then Alice Osman and Heartstopper. And then Boys. Well, this surprised me. The top book, Scythe by Neil Schusterman.
Yes.
Great series.
Great series. So we have
underrated.
That. We
probably
have
a bit violent for juniors.
Okay,
but Scythe, great trilogy.
Very good.
Scythe. And then Robert Muchmore, still the top author.
Oh, yes.
And Cherub.
Yeah,
is a series.
Yeah,
which was just and I think a lot of those are no surprise. But the good thing for us is once we get them in and we give them those, we then know what the springboard is from there.
Yeah.
You've got to know what comes next. Super exciting.
So that is a survey that's done at the end of the year every year. Mm-hmm. So be the voice, I guess, when it comes out.
Absolutely. That's it. And feel comfortable if you were listening and you've got like a lot of those on your shelves. And if you don't agree with some of those, I mean, hey, feel free. We're going to set up some channels that you can communicate with us a bit easier in the future.
We've just talked about having a Twitter account, haven't we?
I think that's where the cool librarians hang out.
Yeah.
So I think if
we need to be where the cool kids are.
If we have a Slanzer Chris,
I'm not there yet.
If we have a Slanzer Sessions Twitter that we can post things on and ask questions and have polls and then curate that to use on here. So we'll be coming at you.
We haven't solved any problems this time.
Well, I think we're not here to solve problems.
No.
We're here to give we put meat on the bones of the skeleton. That's what we do. And then the cannibals out there can strip it off again. That's up to them.
Lovely.
That's a weird analogy. I'm so sorry. Not sure where that came from. But I like the idea. The idea was the skeleton, and we put some meat on the bones.
Yeah, you've said it twice now.
Because I can't get out of my head. I did a strategic thinking class today about how to survive a zombie apocalypse with my kids, so I can't get it out of my head.
So that's where that's come
Mitre 10 is the place that we're going to go as our fortress.
That's a good idea.
Hey, that's a great idea.
So maybe we can do a podcast on surviving the zombie apocalypse.
Sounds good.
As a teaching tool. Wow. So thanks once again, Sash, Chris. I hope you go safe the next week in your library and exciting things pop up. Thank you, all of those people, for listening, all five of you. You're all wonderful. And we'll be back soon. You'll be able to listen to this. The full version will be out on NPR, on Manawatū People's Radio. We've got to thank them.
Yes, we do have to thank them. And Air New Zealand.
Air New Zealand. I was like, awesome, where are we flying to?
New Zealand on air.
New Zealand on air. Yeah, so we're going to do a session on dyslexia as well, Sash. That's okay. And it's not a joke. That's great, Sash. We love that. New Zealand on air in New Zealand. We thank you all, and we love that. We're loving having a giggle, and that's what this podcast is all about. So, ka kite anō. Have a lovely day, everyone.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.